T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Hardin Cattles on EEI.
There's something about a truck in a farmer's field. A no trespass sign and time to kill. Nobody's gonna get hurt.
All right, so before so I bring on my special guest, and Joe Zarbano had to pull some strings for this one. But before I bring on my special guest to talk some Patriots, I've got to thank the listeners again on the text line for trying to help me deal with my neighbor issue, 37937. I appreciate all of you weighing in, and there's just a ton of texts. I can't get back to all of you. I can't respond to all of you or bring all of them up on the air because there's just a bunch of them. But I do appreciate all the reaction and all the advice that I've received from you wonderful listeners, 37937. All right, the special guests for this segment. I feel like, what is it, on OMF, is it Thursday at 4 p.m., the mystery guest? I have a mystery guest because Andy Hart is not here today. If you're just jumping into your car, Andy is too busy being a dad, which is cool. So it's just me, flying solo, Nick Cattles, here on a Saturday morning sports radio, WEEI. Until now, because for this segment, and from what I've been told, this segment only, because this man, his time is crucial to him. He is not able to spend much more than about 10 to 15 minutes with me this morning. He's too popular. His name is Mike Mananski. Mike, what's up?
Cattles, for fear of sabotaging the segment. What's the neighbor issue? Now I'm dying to know. What's the neighbor issue?
Okay, so the neighbor issue is about two houses down diagonally from me. This started in the middle of this past week. Early in the morning, I want to say 6:30, 7 o'clock, somewhere in that area. There has been a loud revving of the engine for several minutes. This started happening on Wednesday, and I'm a light sleeper, Mutt. So I said, okay, you know, I'm a light sleeper. So, you know, this one might be on me. So I let that go. And then it happened a couple of other times this week. And then it happened yesterday. And then this morning at about 7 a.m., which to me is even worse because it's a Saturday morning. It's a weekend morning. Most people are trying to sleep in. And he's revving his engine again. So I didn't know where this was coming from until this morning because I literally jumped out of my bed and I walked down the stairs. I opened up the front door. I walked out to the front of my house in my driveway, and I looked down, and about two houses down diagonally, I see a red SUV. And obviously this guy's like revving the engine. He's getting out of the truck. He's looking. And so I just mentioned, I don't know what to do about this. If this continues to happen for like the next week or two, like what's the threshold before I can get angry? And if I get angry, what do I do? And Mutt, from what I understand, you've been known to have a little bit of a temper. Am I right?
Yes. But I mean, I would say in your case, you got to wait a week. I think it's courtesy to wait a week.
Okay.
And is he just having truck? Is it an SUV? My guess is he's having an SUV problem. He'll eventually take it in to get fixed. He's not revving it to be a hardo and show off. You're saying he's getting out of the truck to look and sort of listen to it. It's got to be a problem. He'll get it fixed. My guess is next week, when you and Andy Hart are screaming at each other about something stupid, and I'm listening, driving around doing errands, this will be well behind you. But I would say you got to wait a week. You have to wait a full week.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want to give him, as I said in the last segment, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him another week to see what's going on. I don't know why he was out of his truck today. Again, he was out of his truck standing behind it. SUV thing, whatever the hell it is. I haven't given it a great look just yet. But I'm going to give it another few days. I think if it goes beyond a week, then we've got issues. And then I've got people telling me to post a note. I've got people saying put a letter in his mailbox. I've got people saying call the city for a noise ordinance. I've got people saying, you know, sack up and go knock on the door. I don't know how I'm going to handle it, but I will absolutely give all of you an update next Saturday.
Anonymous typed note. Do not knock on the door. You don't need that. Who the hell said that? That whoever texted that in is a hardo. The text line is full of these hardos who have great ideas, and that person who texted it in, Cattles, wouldn't do that themselves. Typewritten, typed up notes, so there's no handwriting on it. Middle of the night, you drop it in there after WEEI late night when you're talking till midnight, 1 a.m., and you go about your day. But by next week, it'll be gone, so there you go.
All right. I want to get into Le'Veon Bell with you here for a couple of minutes, but before I do that, simple question. Should this game be played tomorrow?
Yes. Based on all the information that I have, Cattles, and I think that we have, they should play it, especially considering all the love that Belichick has gotten. I know you've talked about this, and the players, the way they responded to Bill, they have trust in Belichick, and Bill's apparently put a lot of effort into learning COVID and learning protocols, and if he's willing to go back to the facility today, if David Andrews is tweeting out that he's going to work, then they have confidence in it. Assuming there's no more positive tests today or tomorrow, that would scrap everything. But based on the one positive, we presume James Ferentz, yeah, I think you play the game tomorrow at 1.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think sometimes people misconstrue. I had some people misconstrue the first segment of the show because, listen, they're in their car. They're in and out of the car. They've got some distractions. Some took it as me saying that, you know, the NFL's a mess and they shouldn't play any more games. I actually agree with you. I think they should play tomorrow as long as they feel like everything is fine. And if Belichick, as we know, you said, has been following all the things that they've got to follow, if they feel confident that things are good, I'm fine with it. But I also think that we should give the NFL hell because I think they've been a disaster with this thing. They've been way too reactionary. And again, you know, just this week, they're acknowledging incubation period as a thing when just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they're telling the Patriots to jump on two separate planes within 48 hours of a positive test. So I think they could have done a much better job with a 7-month runway than they've done, but I digress. Let's jump to Le'Veon Bell.
Sure.
Do you think the Pats made a mistake? I mean, let's say, because the hypothetical has to be, I don't want to make it sound like the Pats had their chance, they were first in line, and they just decided not to go after Le'Veon Bell. But hypothetically, let's say they had the inside track. Let's say that they had the shot at Bell. Do you think it's a mistake to not go after him full throttle?
No, I actually think that it sounds like they did. I mean, there are multiple reports. They first tried to trade for him. Then they tried to sign him late. I think Bill wanted the guy. And to be honest, Cattles, like I feel like there are bigger needs on this team. And I think wide receiver and tight end specifically are much bigger needs than running back right now. And I just wonder, did Bill say, there's this guy that I love, he's on the record. You know, Giardi had the quotes this week about how much he loves Le'Veon Bell. I just want talent. I want talent around Cam Newton. I'll figure out a way to make it work. He's available. We can get him for, you know, no draft pick, just cash involved. And I think they did go after him hard. I think the issue is that if you're picking between the Patriots and Chiefs right now, and you're trying to win, it's a year to win, you're picking Kansas City 100 times out of 100. The Patriots, unfortunately, right now, they're in a spot. They're not that team anymore where you want to sign with them to win a championship because the Chiefs have a much better shot this year. So I think they did go after him, and I'm not mad they didn't get him because save your bullets for tight end and wide receiver, two spots they need bigger upgrades over this year.
You know, I kind of disagree with your read on how things went. I think the Jets actually called the Patriots to try to extract an asset from them. I think that trade call was made from the Jets to New England. And you could easily say that the, you know, the late jump in was to maybe try to drive the price up. I don't know if Belichick was dying to bring Bell in. I do agree with your assessment of the situation, though, regarding this roster and whether or not they needed to bring him in. I don't think they needed to bring him in. And as a matter of fact, I would say, you know, we've all been talking about Damian Harris, and Mutt, I'm sure you've gotten plenty of calls, Mutt at night, about Harris, and, you know, there's a lot of fans excited about him, and we saw him play once this year so far, and it's been once, but it was a really good once. I mean, he looked really good. He followed up what everybody was writing about him in camp. So if you bring Bell in, you're stunting Harris's growth. You're getting in the way of Harris. You're getting in the way of Sony Michel. Even if you don't love Michel, the Pats invested a first-round pick in that guy.
And so I think you've got running back depth. And to the people that said, oh, well, he can play the slot. You know what I say, yeah, Mutt, to that? What I say
hey,
to the Cattles, people.
You know what? Hey, hold on. I'll answer for you. Why don't they put Kevin Youkilis in left field? Well, yeah, come on. He can play anywhere. Come on. What are we doing? Yeah. Le'Veon Bell in the slot. He's a running back. He's a good running back.
Yeah. If you're good. Oh, you could put him in the slot. Well, okay. If you need a slot receiver, how about you go get a slot receiver? Like, if you feel like you need help,
yes,
get a wide receiver, somebody that actually does the job every single snap, somebody that's actually played that position. I understand that Bell can run a slant. Okay, great. But so can James White, and so can Rex Burkhead, and so can, allegedly, reportedly, Damian Harris. Those guys can also put their ass in the slot and run a slant route and be fine with it. Another issue I think we would have run into, Mutt, if we saw Bell playing with the Patriots, is his role. Like, do we forget that this guy, you know, one of the things I read during the week on Twitter was that, yes, he wanted to go to a situation that he felt he could win a ring, and, you know, winning was important. But the first thing that was mentioned was not the winning. The first thing that was mentioned was his touches. And why was he leaving the Jets? Because he was unhappy with not getting the football enough. And I don't know if that guy, especially at his age, probably looking at one more contract, I don't know if he would have been cool and copacetic with the idea of, oh, running back by committee, you might get 10 touches this week, you might get 15 next week.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern. And I think he alleviates that by going to Kansas City, where there's a rookie there, and that's really it. And the rookie has been explosive at times, but not great, not consistent. And he's got a coach in Andy Reid who has done this before in Philadelphia. He had two good backs he went back and forth with. We've seen him do in Kansas City. So, the role was an issue, but for this team, it just wasn't a need. It would have felt like, you know, they were addressing the wrong offensive needs, because they have done a really good job running the football this year with, as you said, Harris and Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead at his blow-up game. They figured that part out. What they haven't figured out is, when it comes to a game, and there will be a game here, it might not be tomorrow, where they've got to throw it, and they've got to, you know, throw it against not a team like Seattle, whose secondary is not very good.
Right.
Who are they throwing it to? Like, you mentioned slot receiver. Golden Tate's going to be available. Golden Tate for the Giants. He's going to be – go get that guy. Find a
real receiver. He's first on my board. It's funny that you bring him up, because last week Hart and I talked about this a little bit, and I said, listen, go out and get Golden Tate. He can play inside. He can play outside. Yep. He's a yak machine. I know I only have you for a couple more minutes, because, as I said, your time is very valuable. Josie had, you know, he had to pull some strings to get you on the show today.
Yeah, I'm taking a break from painting my bathroom ceiling right now. This is the best part of my morning so far.
Well, I just got a question. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on the show today, but I figured I'd get your thoughts on it. The Patriots now, they're, you know, through a quarter of their regular season. How do you feel about this team?
They're better than I thought they were. And I'm wrong all the time, so it's no big surprise. But I thought before, you know, Cam Newton, they were like a 6-win team, and I didn't know what Cam was going to bring. But Cam and the offense, Cattles, are better than I thought they were going to be. And I put that on two guys specifically, Cam and Josh McDaniels, who I just don't think has gotten enough credit for what they have done. And they're in a position now where they're a legitimate, you know, I'd say, you know, middle to bottom tier AFC playoff contender. They're not one of the top four. They're not Baltimore, not Kansas City. They're not Pittsburgh. They're not Tennessee. But in that next group, you know, maybe the Bills are slightly ahead, but they're going to battle all year. And I feel like they're a legitimate contender, but I they can't sit at the deadline in 2 weeks and feel like, yep, we got our team. We're going to rely on Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene, and Demir Bird's going to emerge, and the Gunner talk in training camp. Gunner's back this week. They need talent offensively, but they're the legit playoff contender that is much better offensively than I thought they were going to be this year. That's how I view them through 5 weeks or four
Mutt,
games, whatever it is.
It's been fun, my man. Maybe one day we'll do more than just one segment together.
Listen, I'm glad to hop on. I love listening when you're on Wednesday nights, when
it's
I get to hop in the car. Here you come back. I liked how you responded to my COVID take out of the gate on Wednesday, because I am still surprised. I know you're not. But I am surprised that we have not gotten the details of how COVID has spread amongst all these teams. Because in baseball, we knew immediately. In football, to their credit, they've been very hush-hush. And so we'll see if it comes out at some point. Hopefully there are no positives, and hopefully we get Patriots and Broncos tomorrow at 1.
Yeah, it's the NFL. It's cloak and dagger. The Pats, both Mutt and I feel, you know, Mutt and I say that they didn't necessarily need Le'Veon Bell, but they do need something. I'll tell you what that something is next on Heart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Las Vegas Raiders have traded the 91st pick to the New England Patriots. With the 91st pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the New England Patriots have selected Devin Asiasi, tight end, UCLA.
Yeah, and then what happened? Not much. Not much after that moment. I want to get your thoughts, by the way, on Le'Veon Bell. Were you upset to see him go to the Chiefs? Did you think the Patriots needed Bell? Both Mutt and I last segment, we both agreed that we did not believe that the Pats needed Le'Veon Bell on this specific roster, this specific season. Mutt has left me. I guess he's gone back to painting his bathroom ceiling. Andy Hart is out this week. He's being a dad, which is awesome. He's at a lacrosse tournament up north, I do believe. So Andy's not with me. I'm flying solo. A couple of hours, I'll be joined by Ben Volen of the Boston Globe to talk Patriots. And if you're just jumping into your car, I'll update you. This game is on the schedule tomorrow, and it looks like it's going to be played. Knock on wood, cross fingers, whatever you do. Unless there are more positives that pop up, it looks like the game will be played, which I don't have a problem with. If the NFL feels confident in the Patriots' ability to stay ahead of this thing, and the Patriots are confident in playing. There's one guy that is on the COVID list right now. That guy was a part of the contact tracing element of this story, so I'm okay with it. But I want your thoughts on Bell. 617-779-7937. The text line is 37937. You can also follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. But what I wanted to talk about was something that the Patriots actually need, in my eyes. I don't think they needed Le'Veon Bell. I think they absolutely 100% need a tight end. They need to add a tight end to this offense. Listen, we read all the reports about Devin Asiasi during camp, right? Asiasi was looking great. He was coming out of his breaks, out of his routes, really. You know, his routes looked well, and his routes looked above and beyond what we thought they would look like, and all of those things, right? It looks like he can attack down the seam. We read all of these awesome reports about Asiasi, especially in the first week of camp. But since then, pretty much crickets, right? Pretty much crickets with Devin Asiasi. And there's got to be a reason for that. Now, my buddy Greg Bedard, I actually do a Patriots podcast with him. We do two every single week. You can check it out, Patriots podcast with Greg Bedard and Nick Cattles. We do a podcast every week. And one of the things that Greg has said to me is that some rookies just go through this, right? Some rookies go through growing pains. At some point, they wake up and they hit the wall. At some point, they say, wait a minute, this isn't necessarily what I expected it to be. This is a little bit tougher. The grind is a little bit more grindier. Yes, I created a word right there. And they don't really know how to react, and it takes them a little while to figure out the new level of play and to catch up. And Greg thinks that's what's going on with Asiasi. All I know is this. When you look at Asiasi, he's played 57 snaps this year. 57 snaps. If you compare the amount of snaps that Asiasi has had this season with the amount of snaps that Rob Gronkowski had in his rookie season. And people might say, oh, Nick, come on, you're comparing him to Gronk. No, I'm not comparing him to Gronk. I'm comparing the confidence that Belichick had in Gronk versus the confidence that Belichick might have in Asiasi. Remember, Gronk was a second-round pick. Gronk was a question mark for many people coming out of Arizona. He had the back problems. Hindsight, we look back and say Gronk's one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. But in his rookie season, nobody was jumping up and down for Rob Gronkowski, right? We were interested, we were intrigued, but none of us really knew if he was going to actually pan out. Asiasi has played one-third of the snaps that Gronk played in his rookie year at this point. And what that tells you is that Belichick is not supremely confident in Asiasi right now. He obviously doesn't believe that Asiasi has picked up things as quick as Gronk did, which isn't breaking news. And it shouldn't necessarily surprise anybody. Let's not forget, you know, when you look at this offseason, it was a funky offseason because of COVID. There was no rookie camp. There was no mini camp. There were no preseason games. There were no joint practices. And I remember saying before this season kicked off, Andy and I talked about this a number of times, we should have some reasonable expectations regarding these rookies because we don't know how quick they're going to be able to pick things up. It's already a challenge without all the COVID stuff screwing around with the, you know, off-season, preseason schedule. So Asiasi's played a third of the snaps that Gronk played in his rookie season at this point in the year. That tells me Belichick knows. Belichick is telling us Asiasi's not ready. Dalton Keene, who I thought was going to be an H-back more than a tight end in this offense, I thought we'd see him in the backfield a lot more, and he has been non-existent. Now, the first week or two, it was due to a neck injury. Since then, he doesn't have an injury. He has not been on the injury report, and he's not been active. So again, Belichick is telling us that both of their rookie tight ends, they're in deep water right now, and they have not been able to swim out of it. So they're left with Ryan Izzo, and Izzo is what he is. He's a second tight end at his best. If you have a couple of good tight ends, Izzo is probably your third guy on the roster. So this team desperately needs a tight end. They desperately need a guy that can attack the middle of the field. Because we don't know what's going to happen with Edelman, right? He's going to be 35, just turned 35, right around there. We don't know what to expect from him as the season goes on. And I think many of us watching, Edelman turns 35 next May, by the way. So he's 34. You know, we watch Edelman and we see how he reacts. We see the drops. The drops have always been a little bit of an issue, but people will bring up drop rate, which I think is a great point. It's not only the total number of drops, it's how many targets is he getting and how many of those targets is he dropping. He's dropping more passes with less targets. And physically, can he get through this season? They're going to need somebody else to attack the middle of the field with beyond Edelman. They need somebody who can get down the seam and attack a defense. They need somebody who can stress the safeties of the opposition, right? We saw Izzo a couple of times go down the seam. Hoyer missed them both times, shocker, in the Kansas City game. But you need somebody who you can consistently trust in to get down that seam for an occasional explosive play. That opens up a lot of other things. If you want to see N'Keal Harry truly flourish, a good tight end will help him get there. A good tight end opens up the outside for Harry. It opens up one-on-one coverage. It opens up even more of those back shoulder throws. It opens up the idea of giving him a chance to make a contested catch because there's less traffic. If you have a tight end that helps the middle of the football field and gets down that seam, it also would theoretically help Damier Bird. Because again, less attention to Bird, more of an opportunity for him to beat the defense deep. I think Bird's been better than people realize. I think Cam missed him a couple of times this season, did not throw to him, and then you also had Stidham miss him in that Kansas City game as well. It looked like he was open for a big play, right? So I think Bird's been better than Philip Dorsett. That's no great shakes. It's not like Dorsett's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. But the idea of opening up Harry and Bird more with a legitimate tight end, it's an idea that I love. How about the red zone? I mean, think about having that dependable big target in the end, in the red zone. And we talked about this, you know, before the season kicked off. Worst case scenario, maybe Asiasi wouldn't quite pick up the offense all the way through, but maybe he could do enough where he would be a threat in the red area. And that hasn't been, you know, necessarily the case either. You know, 57 snaps is 57 snaps. So I think you become less reliant on Edelman. You help the middle of the field attacking defenses. You help those explosive plays down the seam, which McDaniels loves to call for. You open up N'Keal Harry and Damiere Byrd. I mean, there are so many reasons why upgrading at tight end makes a ton of sense. Now, the million-dollar question, Nick Cattles here on Sports Radio WEEI this morning, no Andy Hart. The million-dollar question is, who do you go after? Because there are names that you'll see. David Njoku out in Cleveland. Zach Ertz in Philadelphia. Evan Engram in New York. Gerald Everett in L.A. So who do you go after? And, you know, I'm a little concerned about Njoku because of the injury history. Njoku's been banged up a lot the last 2 years. And he's a young guy. So I'm a little concerned about the injury history of Njoku, and you don't want to overpay for a guy that you're not confident that can get through the season. I have the same kind of concerns for Evan Engram. Again, his injury history is a legitimate injury history. He has not been able to be dependable, and so I'd be concerned about that. Zach Ertz, his situation is a different kind of situation. First of all, I've watched the Eagles play on multiple occasions this year. The eye test says that he has not looked like the same kind of guy. Now, that might not be because he's quote-unquote washed. It might be because Philadelphia has pretty much every single receiver hurt right now, and so defenses are putting their full attention on Ertz. And, of course, Travis Fulgham's been really good as well the past couple of weeks out of nowhere. But you've got Ertz, who, you know, he's going to get a lot of the attention. He's going to get doubled, et cetera, et cetera. And so maybe it's more of the circumstances and not the guy. Maybe it's the circumstances and not the particular player in question. The biggest deal, though, for Ertz is money. He still has a couple of years left on his deal, and he's squawking right now. He's squawking. He wants a contract extension. He wants to get paid more money. And it's not like he's not getting paid good money. This isn't the kind of situation where, you know, the team is, you know, living on this, you know, 5-year rookie deal that this guy has, and, you know, they're getting him for cheap. They're getting him on, you know, pennies on the dollar. That's not what's happening with Zach Ertz. Ertz's contract is a different kind of situation. I mean, he signed a 5-year, $42 million deal. And when you look at, you know, the contract numbers, he makes $6.6 million this year. And next year, he's in line to make $8.25 million. So he's going to make $8 million next year. Austin Hooper for the Browns just signed his free agent deal this past offseason. He gets about $10 million a year. So if Ertz is complaining about money right now, you think he's a guy that the Patriots want? I don't know. I'm concerned by that. So I'm concerned by Njoku's injury history. I'm concerned about Evan Engram's injury history. I'm concerned about the money with Zach Ertz. The guy that I would look at is Gerald Everett. And he's going to be an unrestricted free agent after this season is over. He's athletic. He has shown flashes in the passing game of Sean McVay out there in L.A. And I think he's somebody that could absolutely get down the seam. I think he's somebody that could help you in the red zone. I think he is somebody that can help you in the middle of the football field. So out of all the names, and I know it's not the sexiest name, and I know people might sit there and go, oh, and the question of Gerald Everett, really? Go get the sexy name. Go get Njoku. Go get Engram. I don't know if those guys are going to be healthy for you. So I would go after Gerald Everett. I don't think the cost would be huge, and I think he would be an upgrade over anything you have on the roster right now, aside from Asiasi, making this jump. And I don't think you can expect him to make the jump since he's only played 57 snaps. I want your thoughts, though. What do you think the Patriots need? Tight end, are you concerned about what they have as far as pass receivers? And Le'Veon Bell, we'll also put that on the table as well. Do you think Le'Veon Bell was a necessity for this team? I don't think he was. 617-779-7937 is a telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Nick C Radio. I'll get all of your Patriots reaction on what you think they should do coming up here, what you think they need, and your Bell thoughts. Aside from that, coming up next, what in the world is the NFL doing? This is Hart and Cattles, just Cattles, on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're right back to Hart and Cattles on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Oh, good song, The Police. Get it crank! Good song. I like it. Well played, sir. Well played. I was just talking to Brian, and we're going to get to your tight end takes and how you feel about these Patriots receivers, the idea of Le'Veon Bell now being in the past. Are you upset? Are you disappointed the Patriots did not get Bell? But before I get to all your thoughts on the text line and on the phone line, and by the way, it is Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio WEEI. No Andy Hart, just Cattles today. Andy is up north, lacrosse tournament for his son, being a dad, so that's all good. I was just talking to Brian during the break. Like, tonight is going to be a great sports night. Tonight, it lines up perfectly. You've got the Astros and the Rays game 7 tonight. You have Alabama, Georgia, number 3 versus number 2 in the country. You've got the UFC, Brian Ortega versus the Korean Zombie. That fight's going to be outstanding. And, you know, you even have, and I know there's not many of you out there, but you even have a great boxing match tonight, Lomachenko versus Lopez. This could end up being the best boxing match of the year tonight, and it's on ESPN, so you don't have to pay for it. It's on free TV. Well, you got to pay for ESPN, technically, but you know what I mean. So, you know, you got the Lomachenko fight. You've got the Ortega Korean Zombie fight. You've got game 7 between the Astros and the Rays, and you also have Georgia-Alabama. I mean, you have four quality sporting events tonight to choose from. So let's all enjoy that. 2020 has been nuts. COVID-19 blows. Let's all enjoy the sports night because a lot of good stuff to watch tonight. To the text line, the 617, don't need Bell. His ego will infect the Kansas City locker room. We'll see how that all works out. I mean, obviously, you've got Andy Reid. He's been around forever. Maybe he'll be able to handle Bell and any crap he might bring to that locker room. The question I have about Bell is, again, the touches. I think Kansas City wants to limit the touches for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which sucks because I have him in fantasy football. I'm very angry about that move made by the Chiefs. But I think they look at Edwards-Helaire now after the draft, and they say to themselves, you know, this guy might not be a 22 to 25 touch a game kind of guy. He might be more of a 15 touches every game kind of guy. And I think they felt the need to add to their running back depth because of that. And the one thing that Kansas City has struggled with this year is goal line offense, specifically running the football on the goal line. And that actually started week number 1. You saw that against, what was it, Houston, I think, right? It was KC Houston. It feels like it was a year ago. And they've had issues running from, like, inside the 2-yard line. Edwards-Helaire, I think, has 7 or 8 carries inside the 5 or something with 0 touchdowns. So I think they added Bell for that as well. And it's a new toy. It adds to the most explosive offense in the NFL, or what will be, I think, eventually the most explosive offense. You could argue that the Green Bay Packers have been the most explosive offense up to this point. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Ralph's got a take on the Pats and their trade needs. What's up, Ralph?
Good morning. Le'Veon Bell, look, I don't care if Le'Veon Bell was a churchgoer. Why would you want to touch their running back situation right now? It would be a shame to sit down the way Burkhead. If you keep Burkhead healthy, he's a weapon. He's shown us that. You got Michelle. Now you've got Harris. We've all been waiting for him. And you got White. You don't need this guy. You don't need to pay him a dollar. You don't need this guy. So getting Bell makes no sense in any way. And I'm sure he's not one of Bill's favorite guys. Now, tight end, look, the Patriots have scored very few points this year compared to the rest of the league. They have. I don't know if getting a tight end at this point, you know, learning the system as well as maybe getting a blocking tight end. I could see that because this team has another weapon and is so much more versatile with Newton at quarterback. So I wouldn't do that. But, you know, I have to say, and I've been saying this for a while, how impressed I am with what this team did with this defense. Now, we expected this defense to give up a ton of points, a ton of yards. And look at who we lost. The guys that they lost on this defense, people said we lost all our linebackers. We lost some linemen. They have, I think, four teams in the NFL have given up less points than this defense. That's where I see it. The special teams look awesome. So Belichick did what he's good at. Like, he loses something, he gets strong in another way. Offensively, I think they'll come around. If I was going to add any right now, I mean, I would do defensive line depth and receiver depth. I'd go after another receiver way before I'd go after a tight end. It's that type of team you have now because you can't do, as much as I love Brady, my all-time favorite player, he wasn't a threat to run. Newton's a threat to run every time he touches the football. So you have to keep that in mind. That makes your wide receivers even more, they're just more, they're better than they are because you can't double-team these guys anymore. You have to keep that eye on Newton. He's good for 10 yards every time he touches the ball, supposedly, you know, from what we've seen. And now he's proved it. Any place to improve, I do it at wide receiver.
All right, Ralph, let me jump in. Thanks for the phone call, as always, my man. Great job. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. You know, I'd say, first of all, there's a lot to unpack with Ralph's phone call. Number one, I would not want to rely too much on Cam running the football. Yes, he can do it, but he has been injury prone. He's taken a lot of hits throughout his career. I think you've got to be able to balance that out. And I'm not saying that Ralph was saying, you know, run him 15 times a game. I would just not want to rely too much on that aspect. Yes, utilize it as part of the weaponry you have on offense, but don't utilize it too much to the point where you're now looking at a banged up Cam towards the end of the year, right? As far as tight end, listen, I think sometimes we make a little too much about, oh, somebody won't be able to adapt to the offense. Somebody won't be able to get it, you know? Listen, I think if you bring in the right guy, and I think if you give him enough to work with, I mean, look at Cam. Look at Cam. He came in, no practice, no joint practices. He had some practices. No joint practices, no preseason is what I meant to say. You know, dealing with parachuting into this offense very, very late. And we did not expect Cam to pick up things as fast as he did, and he did. I think it depends on the player. I think it depends on the player and how they are able to absorb information, how relatable is this offense with the offense that that player, you know, played in his prior stop. I think it depends on all of that. I think they need a tight end. I don't think they need a blocking tight end. I think they have enough guys who can block. I think, you know, the run blocking is the least of this team's worries. I think you've got plenty of guys up front. I think the offensive line has been fantastic. Cole Popovich and the other offensive line coach's name that escapes me right now, they've done a terrific job with that offensive line. Michael Onwenu has been a beast up front. You want to talk about, you know, it's not sexy, and when people sit there and they kill Belichick's drafts and all that, I know it's not sexy to talk about an offensive lineman that you scooped up in the late rounds, but Onwenu has been doing work since week one, and I think that offensive line is fine, and I don't know if you need a blocking tight end at the end of that. I think you can get by without that. You throw an extra offensive lineman out there, you'll be fine. Receiver, yes, I think, listen, I don't limit the needs to one. I think you could add a receiver 100% to this team. I have mentioned Golden Tate several times on this station over the past couple of weeks. I think Tate is the guy I'd look at. The Giants stink. He is very, very competitive. He's got that, as Cam would say, that dog in him. He's got a dog in him. I like the idea of adding a Golden Tate to the Pats. Defensively, Ralph, I disagree with you. I think overall they've been good defensively, right? Winovich has been fantastic. He has been absolutely a stud this year. I do have concerns at linebacker. Bentley is not athletic enough. If they could add an athletic linebacker, I think that would be huge for this defense. Somebody who could defend backs coming out of the backfield, somebody that could go sideline to sideline. You know, maybe we'll see some of that with Jennings. Jennings hasn't played a ton. So, you know, maybe Belichick knows something. I thought Jennings flashed early on in the Kansas City game. He made one play where he, you know, he kind of jumped over the cut block and he flushed Mahomes out of the pocket, and he looked very athletic in doing so. So maybe Jennings kind of flourishes over the next month or so. But I do think addressing the middle of the field would be a good idea. The Patriots are relying on playing, you know, 6-7 defensive backs. They're playing safeties at the linebacker spot. If you could find a guy, I'm not saying you need a stud. I'm not saying you need to go out there and eat, although Deion Jones in Atlanta is a guy that I would be doing cartwheels if the Patriots could somehow get Jones off the hands of the Falcons. If you can get an athletic, quick linebacker in the middle of the field, I think that makes the job even tougher for opposing offenses. Let's go to Brian in Salem. Brian wants to talk about the NFL COVID protocol. What's up, Brian?
How you doing? I'm a big fan, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
you. Listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
So I just want to talk about, I think the NFL is a disgrace for what they're doing. You look at all the sports around the nation, and they're all taking proper measurements. Some of them are doing bubbles, especially even at least in the playoffs. With the NFL not wanting to even put forward a bubble for at least the playoffs, or forcing these guys to say, if you want to play, you can't go to restaurants, you can't go out in public, you gotta just go to practice and go home. Have some sort of protocol for them to stay safe, because with this virus, we're still learning about it, and that's the scary part. We're still learning about. We just found out recently that the gestation period might be longer than we think, and we don't even know if it comes up immediately on a test result. We don't know all these things. This is a virus we're still learning about day in and day out, and we're going to keep learning about it for at least another year. And for the NFL to be so foolish to sit back and not care for the safety, I really think the McCourty brothers have good points. They don't care about their safety.
All right, thanks for the phone call, Brian. I appreciate it. I appreciate the time, my man, and the kind words about the show. Have a good weekend. Be good. Be healthy. I want to get into the NFL COVID protocol stuff. I want to get into what's going on with the Patriots right now. I think, Brian, he brings up some good points about the league and the way they have handled this. I'll continue also with your phone calls and texts about what you think the Patriots should do, your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell heading to Kansas City. We've got a lot to get to, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Of course, there is no Andy Hart today, but we keep marching along. And I want to get to it. I want to get to it, the fact the Patriots are back to work today. They're set to play tomorrow. I'll get to your reaction. But I also want to ask the question, do you think the Patriots should be playing tomorrow? And how do you feel about the way the NFL has handled COVID-19. All of that coming up. It's Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.